Hello and welcome to ProU Podcast, episode number 326, Distancing Yourself. That's the verbiage I chose to kind of explain the last little phase of what I've been experiencing. On the good side, it was probably 7 years ago when a fella told me, you know, you got to stop focusing on how you're feeling. And I had no clue what he meant by that. It was like, don't breathe. I'm like, don't breathe. Like, what do you mean? Don't feel. Like, don't focus. Like, this is how I feel. Don't. Why? No clue. And that's why I'm like really, really trying not to. Well, that doesn't make sense at all. Struggling with the intro. Don't judge anybody. You know, as far as how they heal, what they're going through, the time it takes them to see things. Because, again, you know, I'm in my 50s figuring things out for the very, very first time. But more often than not, when I was talking to a client, I was saying, you know, it's like the GPS on your car. You know, there's your car on the street and you back it up and you can see a few more streets and you back it up more and you can kind of see the whole neighborhood and you back it up more and you can see the whole city. And that's kind of what I meant. The more you back up to look at your life as a whole, you're kind of simultaneously taking out the feelings about the little things. You know, because you could have something happen in the morning that just really bums you out. And in that moment, those feelings are real and you're bummed. There's no denying that. But if you're like, okay, well, this is just the moment of one morning, of one day, of one week, of one month, of one year, of my entire life. And that's kind of what I mean. So I was just trying to tell more and more people, the more you get to a healthier place, you can see things with clarity because you're not in it, feeling everything. And that was me. I was just stuck in things. You know, the fish that did not know it was in water. That was the epitome of me. So I Googled some things, got a couple lists. It's just really on being healthy. You know, what am I doing? What are the choices that I'm making that are helping me feel better? And this is one of them. So I did a little bit of research, do a little bit of reading for you, and share a few ProU stories with you. Hope you are well. Hope you are navigating this time of year well. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. And if you need any help navigating the end of the year, the beginning of the year, any questions, comments, holler. I am here. Enjoy. Just thinking about what to exactly say, and I looked down at my notes, and I was like, you know, this is number 326. I got number 327, and then 328. This is the year end reflection. 2020 is upon us. It just sounds so futuristic. Again, if you're proper old like myself, back in the dizzy, you heard 2020, you're like, oh, it's the future. And here we are. We are here. Welcome. Hope you're doing well. I hope you are navigating your ProU path to the best of your ability and you are not critiquing or judging how you're feeling. Because you believe in your heart you're doing the best that you can. But it's a tricky time of year. So I've been kind of like talking about this one thing, kind of working this thing in my head, and I kind of got some articles that relate, but there's just a definite older version of me, and I mean, remember it distinctly because it was me where my energy was going towards things, external things, energy going into, you know, being a son, energy going into being a sibling, a brother, a boyfriend, employee. And you can just, I mean, I look back and it's so clear now in hindsight, but it's like, where was the working on me? Where was the identifying the squeaky wheel? Being thankful for the three good ones, identifying the voice, stopping, pausing, reflecting, taking inventory, changing the way I looked at things because I was changing, growing through what I was going through. See, none of that was happening. So the external things are going to fluctuate because that's what external things do. So when one is up, you're good. And when one is down, you're not so good. And when you got three or four of these things that are all fluctuating simultaneously, you can see how you're not really feeling sturdy. You know what I mean? You're not feeling like, hey, I'm really grounded. I got balance. I know who I am. I know what I want. And it wasn't until recently, and it's crazy how like a test will point something out and go, oh, see, there you go. So it kind of brings me back to the phone call I got from my father. Was it 2 months ago? You know, and initially, it's going to rock the canoe in the Zen pond a little bit, but it's, again, on me how I respond. And it was shortly after that I dug how I respond, because I knew initially I wasn't going to call back. But it was like, okay, how to deal with that, how to navigate that, how to find peace in that. And it kind of happened. And then it was a little bit later, I was just like, wow, this is just great. You know, I just started feeling like, you know, they can't get me. The feeling, the yuck, the yellow, it's like I built a fortress and there's this moat around it, and I can still see the yellow, and I can still see the yuck, the kryptonite. But it's on the other side of the moat. There's a big moat, and then I'm in this big fortress castle. I'm like, yep. And they can't get me. And it was empowering. Some of this stuff just might not make sense to you at all. And I'm totally cool with that. Understand that. But if you've been listening for 4.5 years and following my journey, maybe it's making sense. But you do these things, and they're pro you, and they feel a little better, and then you get reinforcements. And they're not always the funnest, easiest, most comfortable choices to make. But in your heart, you know that it's better for you. And at some point, it's like, well, are you gonna? No one else is really kind of putting you at the top of their priority list to save you, to make you feel fulfilled and happy. You better start doing it. And, you know, you don't get forever. So I was learning all these lessons along the way and getting to this point. Where I was like, okay, go this way, go that way, breadcrumb, feel better, going this way, and there's a tipping point where it's like, well, now nothing matters. I don't care what I do, because everything I do is like, is it going to make you better? Are you better? Is that going to make you feel better? I mean, I'm completely all about that now. But simultaneous, that guilt and being tethered to these other things and having energy going out, going, hey, am I doing the right thing? It's just less and less and less and less. So like I said, there was this point where it just switched. And the more powerful, overwhelming feeling was, I just do this, Tom. Don't think about what anyone else thinks. Don't care what anyone else has to say. Your opinion matters the most. And then again, now it's this big step, and it's like, click, this thing shifts and fits, and it goes, I'm better. Okay, I got it. That's in stone. Build on it. And then I fast forward, and I'm like, you know, there's this distance now. And that's when I started talking about, like, how do I record this episode? What is this episode going to be about? But it was like that distance thing. It's like sometimes a fish doesn't know it's in water. I said that a bunch of times. like you're in that bad relationship and you're trying to do good, but it's not working out and the person isn't understanding you and you really love them and you want to know this, but, and you're just in this grind because it's all about how you're feeling in that moment. I said it a billion times. Feelings are real, but they're temporary. I just didn't know that for a very, very, very long time. How I was feeling, I was like, okay, this might stay forever. You know, just that bad heartache, bad feeling. I was like, okay. Or the scared or the anxiety. Or the, when I got those feelings, I was not, okay, well, it'll fade. It'll go away. I'll get through this. Not at all. Not even close to that. I was in it. I was tethered to everything. Who I was as a man, a person, an adult, whatever, was based on everybody's opinion that was around me. And then again, 48 kind of turned it around, started heading a different way. And when I got to 50, I was like, okay, now this is the best ever. And it was the best ever, and I knew it. And then at 52, I said, okay, well, now I know what I'm not going to pursue, going on a spiritual journey. That was kind of the extent of what the spiritual journey was going to be for me. I knew what I wasn't going to pursue. And then things just kept going and improving and better and better and better, but it kept being about this distance and this distance. And it's like there's just these things that I haven't done in a long time. I haven't gone out to eat. 3.5 years. Haven't gone to a movie. 3.5 years. Why? Because of Zen. I don't leave Zen unless I have to. But that's kind of that point. It's just that there's less and less of my energy going out to like anything else. It all got small. My life slowed down. I've said that a bunch of times. But I was like, okay, here's what I'm going to do and not going to do because it's really easy. Because I see it clear. Because I've created some distance. It's probably right around 3 years now. I haven't talked to my family. Distance. There's less feeling. They have less control, less power. It's like they could just reach out through space and time and touch a button. I'd be like tripping for 3 days. Either contacting them back, mulling it over, you know, ruminating, spinning in my head, or it was already back and forth, you know, just in the mud. And I'm like, that doesn't happen anymore. Yay, who cares? Why? Yay, it's not happening anymore. But are you going to keep doing what you're doing so you keep getting what you're getting? Of course. Of course, of course, of course I am. And that was this thing going, well, how do you tell people, like, okay, I'm doing this now at 54 and a half, and it's awesome, but I didn't really get it. For 54 years, 53 years. Because like I said, I was just starting to kind of identify. It's that distance where you start not empowering other things. You empower yourself. And I had a client just say, hey, you know, I was kind of talking about this topic to a client. He goes, you know, I was talking to my brother and kind of saying the same thing. And he goes, you know what? It kind of could come off a little cold. And I'm like, see, that's exactly the problem. Is people could look at me, my choices, and going, wow, he's really callous, cold. You know, he's just turned off his emotion. He's just what-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah, I did the other thing for 50 years. And that's a long time. There's this magical thing about 50 to me. I'm like, 50 years. I was that son, that person, that thing. I go, I'm done. It was just this big thing. And again, I believe it was partly what I was going through and growing and learning and passing tests and improving, but I was just like, I wrote myself a permission slip. You are no longer that to anyone. You are Tom, the soul, entity. Be you. But with that distance, I gained that clarity. So I wrote this down. You can see with clarity, not with feeling. You know, because when I was in a relationship and it wasn't going good, all it was, it's your fault, Tom. You're doing bad. You need to fix it. Just this total panic. Like it was all bad, all me. I did it. And it's like, hardly was ever all me. all my fault, but that's, it was just, something I gotta, because it was an external thing. I needed to be okay, so I was okay. Because if that was good, then it meant I was good. And if it wasn't, then obviously I wasn't. And there's a last little thing I'm going to touch on. And this was like the podcast to me, was that distancing yourself. How is that, you know, perceived by other people? And how do you get past what other people think? And, you know, what's the, where do you go? Like, okay, I'm going to distance people. I'm going to cut them out of my life. I'm never going to talk to them again. And again, I am not telling anybody to do anything except be a better version of themselves, which I am doing. So I'm sharing my experience, what I did, what I've done to achieve a better version of me. And I have. And that's kind of the value of the podcast and what I talk about. I'm a better me. I'm the best I've ever been. So there you go. You don't have to listen, but fact, this is what I've done to get better, to become the best me. So someone about 2 days before Thanksgiving said, hey, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? And it just came out. I go, nothing. I graduated. And I was like, graduated. And I thought about it after, and I go, it's kind of perfect. I was like, you know, I grew up going, oh, you know, the white people discovered America, and we gather around this table, and, you know, you sit with family, and you can't just skip. You have to do it, and this is the people you have, and, you know, written in stone. And through all my trials and tribulations, fast forward, it's like the last two or three, they were fine. Like, I learned a lot, not by doing those things. And understanding, to me, it was just a day. And I told this before, like, there's not really, oh, Sunday's this, or the weekends, or on this day. It used to be, like, a day I didn't like doing something, or a day I had to get up earlier. The week, it was just, every day is the same day to me. There's not really a different day. And I liked that, how they all kind of, you know, blended in. So again, I'm just kind of walking that different path. But I'm like, okay, let's just break down Thanksgiving. And I did over the last couple of years. And I'm like, well, it's not really that important. And I'm finding things to be thankful for all the time, and I've been enjoying it. And this past Thanksgiving, I just crushed it. Like Wednesday night, I was like, tomorrow's Thursday. Got up, boom, did it. Didn't even think about it. Oh, it's that day, and how am I doing compared to, not at all. Like, it wasn't. And I'm like, see, that's the thing, is you empower these things. Like, well, I have to be with people, or I have to do this thing, or I'm, and that's what I mean about empowering those things. And again, you distance that stuff. Go 3 or 4 Thanksgivings. So that's 3 or 4 years working on you, and go without seeing anybody doing anything. And by that 4th or 5th one, you're going, okay, now this is familiar. It's comfortable. I don't really mind it. I actually enjoy it. And see, that's when these things start turning. And again, it is from distancing yourself from certain things. And instead of empowering these things and just being in it, you back away, you distance yourself, you give yourself time and space, and you start empowering yourself. All right, so these are the things I found, and I'm going to read. The first one was 6 cases for distancing yourself from toxic people. So this is kind of like why you can give yourself permission. And I was kind of talking about, you know, what it was about, and how it came about, and the philosophy behind, you know, just mentally distancing yourself and knowing that it's okay because you're going to gain clarity. But this is close to what my point was, but it makes a lot of great points. Hence, I'm going to read it. Distancing yourself from certain people, even toxic ones, can be difficult. But it's absolutely necessary in certain situations. There's a quote, you are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. It's crucial to surround yourself with uplifting, positive people and keep a healthy distance from toxic people who leave you feeling drained. And that's like sums up my life right there. Like, I quit jobs because there's negative people. I just, in one moment, all of a sudden you show me you're a victim and you're negative and you complain. Poof, right now I will never talk to you again. Gone. Boom. You show me who you are, I'm going to go, thank you, I believe you, and I'm going to move on, and I'm going to run. And the few people that I talk to, I like to talk to. All right, number 1. The negative Nancy, which is one of the things I just mentioned. We all know that friend or family member who constantly gossips and talks trash about everyone they know. You might have even asked yourself, I wonder if they talk about me that way to others. The answer is they most certainly do talk shit on you when you're not around. Should be about you when you're not around. I spent 13 years talking to a friend on the phone nearly every day until one day I realized how miserable I was when we hung up on the phone. By keeping a healthy distance from negativity, you will most certainly have a better attitude. And that's my point. When you distance yourself from those people, those moments, those experiences, it starts having a positive effect on you. And then there's that distance and you start recognizing it. And I've had people go, I just don't want to talk to that person anymore. You know, I've had a friend for this long, but I'm like, see, that's my point. You start getting it. You start going, oh, I don't have to. I'm not a bad person. I mean, great, wonderful people have bad days and need to share. I share all the time. I'm talking about the continuous same thing. I'm a victim. I never get a chance. Poor me. That person. And when, like I said, if they're complaining, I'm just not going to talk to people who complain. I got a bunch of complaining about. I don't. So therefore, if you're going to kick it with me, spend any time with me, you're not going to complain. I'm not going to listen. Two, the mooch. I have a family member that, God bless him, is a complete and total mess. He wasn't always that way, but somewhere along the line, he lost every bit of drive and work ethic he ever had. He calls everyone and hints about needing money for his family, his business ventures, etc. I finally realized he's not my responsibility. And see, and there's a great line. Yeah, but he's my brother. Yeah, but he's my nephew. Yeah, but he's my father. It's like, they're not your responsibility. And again, creating that distance, not how you feel. Well, of course, if it's someone that you love or are related to and they're doing bad, that's going to make you, you're not going to be happy about it. And you're not trying to get a place where you're happy about it. You just can't own anyone else's drama. And when they said that phone call thing, I used to get off the phone with my brother. And it would be like an hour or over. And I would get off the phone, I would be bummed for three. And again, it wasn't until I was in my 50s that I knew what an empath was. Like, I can feel exactly what you're feeling in a second. And it can grow and I can feel it more. And that's kind of partly why I'm so emotional and I cry so much. I can just feel a lot. But I wasn't aware of that. Okay. It's not your responsibility. That's just a great line. Write that down. Memorize it. People, anyone else, not your responsibility. Your kids are. As bad as I feel for his kids, it's his own fault that they're in financial situation they're in. I've tried offering advice about budgeting, business, job search, you name it. But sometimes people don't want your advice. And that, see, there's my point again. You come up to me once, share your stuff, I give you advice, no problem. You come up and say the same stuff and you didn't do anything I told you, done. They just want your money in this case. I had to distance myself. I still talk to this person once in a while, but I refuse to enable his poor behavior. And that's, again, you're enabling people to continue. What you allow to continue will. If you allow people to do something to you, they will. If you allow them to continue, they will. It's kind of not their fault anymore. I mean, if you're like, I don't want a pet, and then you go get a dog, and he comes in, he's barking all the time, going, I don't want my dog barking. It's like, wait a minute. Dogs bark. You went and got the dog. These are your choices. Number three, maybe you can relate. Meddling family members. I'm betting I've got a lot of friends who can relate to this. Are you constantly trying to live your life but find that your parents, in-laws, siblings are all up in your business? It can become super unhealthy if you don't create some distance, either by moving or just having a conversation and letting them know that they're going to live your life on your own terms. Moving. Man, I just kept moving and moving and moving. Of course, we love these well-meaning but annoying family members. There's a reason the Bible says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Worry about your spouse, and if you find that family members are trying to run your life, create some distance. Focus on your own family. Contrary to what some in-laws may believe, you didn't join your husband's family and vice versa when you got married. You formed your own family. In-laws are just a bonus. Keeping a healthy distance from your in-laws and meddling family members isn't a bad thing. It might even strengthen your relationship. These are great words. Live by these words, people. Pro you, pro you, pro you. A relationship, pro you, your family, pro you, you. 4, toxic coworkers. Distancing yourself from toxic coworkers is tough, especially when you have to see them every day, but no one deserves to be verbally or otherwise abused. Workplace bullying is a real thing, and sometimes it's peers. Other times your boss is a problem. Know your worth. Love that line. And don't put up with people treating you like garbage. Don't feed into the workplace gossip. That's why I quit places. When people got all gossipy and negative and high schoolish, I would quit. You're there to do a job, not participate in office negativity. Speak to your boss or human resources department if you feel threatened at work. And if you feel like you can't take it to the top, you probably shouldn't be working there anyway. 5, one-uppers. The Joneses are broke, but they want everyone to think they're better than you. You know that one guy who's always trying to one-up everything you do? You just bought a Ford F-150 extended cab truck, so he goes out and buys a Ford F-350, a crew cab, a year model newer. You know the guy. We all know the guy. Don't get wrapped up in keeping up appearances and comparing stuff. And I'm always saying that, referencing, comparing. Look what they have. Look what I don't have. Many times, this guy is up to his ears in debt, and we all know that's not going to get a person any closer to financial independence. You know your family's needs more than anyone else. By distancing yourself from the Joneses, you'll avoid disappointment and feeling like you've got to measure up. And again, last episode, expectation, frustration. Unrealistic expectations bring on those frustrations. You'll avoid feeling disappointment and feeling like you've got to measure up. Because you don't. Your life is just fine the way it is. Last one, 6. The self-absorbed narcissist friend. I have a friend who every time we get together, she spends the entire time talking about herself and her life and her kids and her in-laws. She doesn't even stop to take a breath half the time. If you find yourself in a friendship that seems one-sided, you might want to rethink spending time with this person. Again, sent out a quote, your time and energy is currency. Be mindful of those you share it with. To surmise, it's okay to distance yourself from these certain types of people. Just remember, you do need to have some really good friends to lean on in difficult times and also to make memories with. Make sure you have a close-knit tribe or a bestie, and make sure they know that you love them and you value their friendship. All right, this is one other article I found. And this is cool. I just liked how the title was worded. Distance, an excellent teacher. And there's a quote, distance yourself for a bit, you'll realize a lot. And again, like I, you know, it wasn't at 48 or 50, I was saying, oh, I'm going to do these things and gain. Like the things I did, I just like was kind of trying them because it kind of felt like the right thing to do. And the spiritual journey kind of felt like the right thing to do. And I had really no idea what that was going to involve or entail or how long it would last. Stop it. I just caught Zen. Yes. He's like, oh, he's always watching me. So I like that. Distance yourself for a bit. You'll realize a lot. I mean, the two things I was kind of thinking about. Let me reword that. When I was thinking about this episode, like, you know, how do I talk about this distancing I'm talking about? I love those two things. An excellent teacher, which distancing has. It's like, hey, you don't need to call him. That's not about you. You're fine. Da-da-da-da-da. Take care of your side of the street. You know, just all these things just became just reinforced. And I'm like, distance taught me that. And again, it was not a grand design by moi, learning as I go. And then the quote, distance yourself for a bit, you'll realize a lot. And I was like, wow, that's exactly it. 3 years, 2 years, X amount of years without certain things. And I'm like, okay, now I'm getting it. Now I really got it. Now I'm empowered. Now I live in a fortress and people just can't get in who want to get in because they want to get in. I love that. All right, here we go. So often people use the word distance to describe physical space, and it does, but distance also describes mental and emotional space. So this is where it's starting to go, okay, see, this is what I'm talking about. It's not, oh, I just need to physically be somewhere else. It's like, no, mentally, emotionally. Distance yourself for a bit physically. Distance yourself for a bit mentally. Distance yourself for a bit emotionally. What could that mean for your life? What situations are you physically in that literally stepping away and experiencing something new could change positively? How often have you heard someone say they need a change of environment? Sometimes temporarily relocating allows you to breathe, rest, relax, and gain clarity. What have you been thinking about constantly that some time spent doing something else that engages your mind fully could benefit from? Mental fatigue can make it hard to focus. So even though you're spending large amounts of time thinking about this one, about this thing, it's not quality time and will lead you to no result or a poor one. Stepping away mentally, rest, or do something entirely different, then try again. And that's something that's kind of I've been applying lately in my life. Like when I'm like not on something, it's okay. I talked about seeds planted. That to me is what the seeds are. It's taking a break. Those seeds are planted. Like my book. My book's not going anywhere. I'm here. I keep getting new thoughts. It's being written. I'm fine. But it's just I'm going to step away. And when it's time, I'll know to come back to it, whatever that is. What relationship has been stressing you or draining you emotionally that you need a break from? What negative feelings are you constantly aware of in your life that you can pinpoint the source of? Maybe it's time to distance yourself emotionally. Take some time to be free from it and invest in yourself instead and figure out what you want. Love that. Take some time to be free from it and invest in yourself instead and figure out what you want. Regardless of what kind of distance you need, if you actually take the necessary steps to create the distance and then utilize it well, you will learn a lot. Here are the things you will learn, realize, figure out. The source of the problem, how you contribute to the problem, why you allow it, if it's worth it, possible solutions to the problems, if what you thought you wanted is actually what you want, that maybe you just needed to get organized, that you were simply exhausted and or overextended, that given the chance, there are some things/people you'd much rather do without, what's/who's truly important to you, that some relationship is unbalanced and maybe they're just not as invested as you are, that you're overwhelmed and need to let some things go, the role that you have been relegated to in a situation and whether or not you will accept it, that the changes you've been meaning to make need to be made now. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. What you get out of it will be unique to you and your situation. There we go. Fantastic. I liked all that. So, my notes for the week. It's funny, like, it'll be a couple days, you know, and I'm kind of going to record, and I'll be like, I haven't really got any notes. And the next day, I've got a whole list of notes. I'm really thankful for my clients. Literally right now I talk to my clients and they're all telling me successful stories. This is what's going on. This is what I'm enjoying. This is what I'm finding now. This is what I'm embracing. Here's the good I see. Here's the purple. This is why I'm thankful. And, if you think of it just in the basic, like there's a teacher and there's a student and the students are rocking it. The teacher's just happy. You know, he's just excited to be there in that moment because he's seeing the growth. And he can see that the students can see their own growth. And when you're talking to people that maybe haven't had the best self-love, self-worth, and now they're starting to have self-worth, self-love, self-awareness, my cup runneth over. So I got a client, and he'll just say something so poetic, and he doesn't even know it. He said, "Been feeling a little funky. Not sure why, but a moment came up." And he was a guitar player, and he's a father, and he takes his son to a guitar store, and his son picks out a bass that he wants. And his father in that moment kind of hits the fork in the road. And he's like, I'm feeling funky. It's a stressful time of year. Finances are a big thing. This is a lot of money. Okay, now I know what you want. Let's just head on out the store and we'll put it on the list and I'll do some thinking about it and I'll let you know. But he didn't do that. And I'm feeling funky. I don't know why. But here I am. In a guitar shop. With my only son. Who's basically taking after me. And is growing and is learning and is thriving. And wants to challenge himself and take the next step. And I'm right here. So I did it. And I'm kind of going nuts inside. Because he's not, you know, saying it exactly like that. And he's thinking he's kind of funky. And maybe he did the right thing. But he's, you know, but he was happy he did it. But I was just like, dude, you don't even know. And then I just, you know, I put things on blast. I'm like, you know, in lieu of feeling funky. And I said, just remember, this type of year, we feel funky. We just do for all those reasons. But it's great that you capitalize on that moment and you were present. Because you received that reward. But here's where the light shines. Or I'm going to shine the light on. In lieu of that funk, because when we feel funky, we're just kind of thinking more about the bad stuff, the yellow stuff, and we're not going to take chances or be present or be connected in moments and embrace them. That's just kind of typically what happens. And I said, you were so self-aware going, look, I'm funky, but there's nothing wrong. And this is a moment, and I'm going to be in the moment. And that was just, I told myself, that's the kind of stuff that could make me cry, make me tear up. And I stopped. And I paused, and I looked as an online client through the computer screen. And I said, when do you think your son will forget that moment? He just immediately said never, and I said exactly. Like, we just talked about your experience. And I said, but there's part of me going, your son was sitting there going, here I am in a guitar shop with my father. Who's a very accomplished musician. And I was just like, oh. And my father bought me that. Psh. See, I ain't got those moments. As a son. Or as father. So I brought that up and I said, you know, the great thing is you know me and I've been in your life a long time and I'm the best I've ever been. I said, but I know you do, but I'm going to reinforce how awesome it is to have that moment with your son. I don't get those moments. And it was just cool because it was just this christening that he was 80, 90% right for feeling right, that he was right and feeling pretty good. And I just got to reinforce it, and high five him and go, yes, you're in the end zone. That's amazing what you're doing. Look what you're doing right now. And I don't like to do this to people, but I say it to myself or about myself once in a while. I mean, if I was to die, I said, if you were to die today, you'd be like, that's one of the best moments to end on. Versus I had crazy accident, passed away, and my last moment was I just dropped my son off and I didn't buy the guitar because I was stressed about money and I was feeling funky this time of year. I mean, to me, that's haunting. But it's also very rewarding when you pick the right path. And I thought, what a great thing. What a great memory. It's just such a great moment. And again, he's not like telling me it as this triumphant thing. I mean, he's definitely aware of it and he feels good. But I was just blown away. I was like, look at what you're doing. Look at the choices you're making. Look how you're thinking. I mean, we get funky and we just automatically go to default. And I'm the head of that line. But we can stop, pause, and go, okay, here's a moment. I need to be present. Done. Done, 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 done. Winner, winner, winner. So I gave a client homework. So just identify moments when you're proud of yourself. Write them down. Pretty simple. It's a client I'm mentoring, so we chat once a month. I just chatted with her, and she goes, you know, that was kind of hard to do, but I ended up fine. I said, stop. And she's like, what? I said, why do you think it was hard to do? She just looks at it like she, like people just know, like, oh, here we are. We're in it. This is the thing. I probably not really proud of myself. I said, yeah, exactly. That's why it's hard to come up with that list. And I said, why do you think you're not proud of yourself occasionally? Low self-worth. And it was just ding ding. Because I've been talking to her for a while. And it was just like high-fiving, going, yep, okay, why? Well, because she did find things. And things are better. And she's seeing them. So now when I point out those things, it's not, it's not bad news. It's good news. Self-discovery, pro-you path. You're not discovering all wonderful things about you. You're discovering origins. Maybe how bad something is. But knowledge is power. And we grow from that when it's about ourselves. So it was great to kind of interrupt or stop and go, okay, da-da-da-da, why was that? Oh, because now she's going, look at that. I'm, you know, a grown-ass woman. I got kids. I got a job. I'm a wife. And I can't write down what I'm proud of because I don't think I have value. Exactly. It's starting to spin. And this woman does not know the lion that lies inside her. What she's done, I kind of saw it out the gate. But now what she's doing, it's just like completely reinforces how strong, brave, courageous she is. And she doesn't know it. And I'm trying to tell her, like, in these moments. Like, it's just sad that you can grow up, graduate, get jobs, get married, even start raising a family, and you've not dealt with your shit. Which reminds me of a great quote I put out. It's like, you know, you got to feel your shit and then understand your shit. Just don't lose your shit. And that's what it is. We're not going to find out great things, but we want to find out things why so we can change them and improve them. You know, and it's funny, it goes along right with what I'm saying. It's like now you start feeling better. You start distancing yourself from certain things because you're starting to go, oh, here's a line. What? Things I like, things I don't like. Things that make me feel good, things that don't. People I like, people I don't like. And it's an amazing thing. So she went on and she listed these 3 proud moments, and like the whole thing changed because as she was almost like elated that she was finally allowed or given permission to talk about things that she might quite possibly be proud of. But then when you sat back, you're like, okay, this is who she is back how long ago, how long I've known her, how long we've been talking, and how long I've been working with her. And the growth and what she's doing. I mean, she is like running up the scale from a 6 to a 6.5 to a 6.8 to a 7 to a 7.2, and she doesn't know it. And that is kind of a just a joyful thing to me. Like, she knows she's better. She gets it. When she was telling me the 3 things, she was so happy that she was talking about things that she was proud of. And it's the first time she's probably done that in her life. So it was definitely good, but she still doesn't know. But I know. And I just told her, I said, this is going to be very exciting, watching you grow. And it just is. It just is. It just reminded me of something. I'm looking for something. It's probably not the best thing to do when people are listening. Where did I put that? Oh, I thought I could find it. I thought I could find it. I thought I could find it. But I wanted to shout out to a little listener. I don't know if she listens every time, but she might. Oh, I know where it is. Ha 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 ha. Look at that. Thank you for your patience.
So I got a little listener who does not get mentioned as much as she would like. So I'm told. So this is a little shout out to Mary. very impressed with Mary. Mary's like a little ball of light and energy, and it just exudes from her. And I train her parents, and that's how we have this connection. But she's a dancer. And she's super, super committed, and she's super passionate about it. And I'm just excited to see some of these kids I know grow up. Like, what I see in Mary, I'm like, that's just going to be the coolest thing to see. And guess what Mary's into? Mary's into quotes. So I had this quote, and there's been parts of this quote floating around for a long time. But here's the full quote that at least I have, and I wanted to share it. So this is for Mary. Mary, Mary, work as if you don't need money. Love as if nobody ever hurt you. Dance as if nobody can see you. Sing as if nobody can hear you. And live as if earth is heaven. So I just thought about that dancing thing in Mary, and I wanted to mention that. And I found it. Way to go, Tom. So another client was talking to her, and she just very, and I said, you're just very chill. And she goes, yeah, kind of tired, but okay with it. And it was just such an all comprehensive, you know, because I've been with this woman for a very long time talking. And it was like, had a great year, had kind of a rush to get some things done by year end, got them done. And now she's kind of tired, and she's okay with that. And she goes, I'm just not trying to do anything right now. And I'm like, that's exactly the things I'm talking about. Like November, December, it was like, you know, just don't try to do anything more. Just do what you have to and be thankful. And she just had this whole tone about it. Like, I'm kind of tired. I'm okay with it. And she would say some things that were just so dope with pro-you clarity. And I'm like, you are in a good place. You are in such a good place. And she's just kind of smiling, going like, yeah, I know. And this is the reward that I'm receiving from talking to these clients. It's just after another one, seeing these people do good. So I had a client who I've been with a long time, a very long time, 7-8 years. And what would typically happen is he would have a break, you know, vacation, holiday, and he lives obviously in LA, and his family's in California, but drive, long driver, a flight away. So it's kind of a big travel, pack, prepare, get there, and then if you're traveling that long, you want to stay a little bit longer. And he just had a bunch of stuff. He's had some deaths, you know, in the family a few years ago, so definitely been challenges. But along the way, I just keep pointing out to him that, you know, these are the things that I've mentioned, you know, no country for old men, you can't stop what's coming. But you can't, like, stop doing things for you every time something bad happens somewhere else, to someone else. Like, he would go home, there would be some drama, there would be some something, and while he was there, he wouldn't work out, he would eat bad. And by the time he got back, he was already beating himself up, and then got really good at that, because I wouldn't see him, like, you know, the first day he came back, probably a day or two later. So by the time he came to me, he had the bad story, number one. Then he had the bad story, number two, how he beat himself up. And now he's in such a funk that we just got to get him back out of the hole again and going again. And it was kind of like a vicious cycle. It was just like every time. And so he comes in and he goes, you know, I get there and I got bad health news about my father. And I got a sibling who just showed up demonstrating really, really bad choices. And then about when they're getting ready to leave, his grandfather just kind of slipped physically, like right in front of everybody. Not physically slipped, but his health got worse. Like, he was kind of slowing down and having some problems, but it was just like this big shift. And so he kept talking, and he goes, but I was really aware of my portion, and I was just like, wow. Like, again, my other client, in it, like in the worst case scenario kind of for you, where the variables will line up and your ship's going to sink, and then you're going to beat yourself up because you allowed it to sink, you stop, pause, and said, well, I'm going to at least eat good. Now, again, he wasn't jumping up and down going, oh, my God, it was amazing. I did amazing. Because, again, you got bad news. It wasn't all great news. And you're spending 3 days with family and people are not doing well and you're around them and you have to be around them and their energy. I mean, that's when you're like, this sucks. I'm going to eat bad or I'm going to drink or I'm going to self-medicate or I'm going to do something, whatever. And then now you're at a place where you know the difference. So now you're going to beating yourself up and judging and critiquing yourself. And it's just a way wicked, vicious cycle. So I stopped him and I was like the other client. I go, you know, that's so great. And it's like, I want them to have a little bit of a joyful feeling in lieu of this funk. I go, look, that's all bad stuff. Like none of that is good news and nor is it intended to make you feel better. But you can't allow it to make you feel bad where you are detrimental to yourself or your health or your well-being. So in that going, look, I went away, you know, it was crazy travel here in California. We get the big rainstorm, flights were canceled. I mean, it was horrible traveling. So we didn't have the greatest, you know, travel. I mean, it turned out to be not that bad. But then, you know, that this rough trip, but didn't eat bad. Therefore, he didn't come home beating himself up. And if he doesn't eat bad and you know, does really well, he's going to feel better. So the first workout back, he's feeling better. He's got a bunch of energy, tells a good story. I'm firing up on him. And I'm like, there you go. And again, this is the stuff I'm talking about. Like, I love training these people, and they start doing it over time, and they start feeling it and getting the breadcrumbs and drinking the Kool-Aid. And then they start sharing. And it's not, again, it's not always they see it with, oh, it's so great. They're just going, well, you know, I know it's better than it was. But then I start jumping up and down, you know, verbally going, oh, my God, this is way wicked cool. You couldn't do this before. You haven't done this before. You're doing this now. So I said, okay. So I'm stretching him. I go, I gave him his phone. I told him to take notes. And I've never done that with this guy. And I said, here's the three reasons, because he's that guy that's improved in every way but is yet to kind of really capture the weight loss because it's the one thing mentally he deals with. If there's something kind of, it's like, oh, I cheated a little bit. I'm like, you just can't, because what it allows, it's like you cheat a little bit, you come off that path. It's like, okay, well, now it just reinforces that old habit, and that takes over. And until you can do that consistently, you're not going to break that habit. So it's, yes, you'll lose weight, but it's more about controlling that thing that you can't control. And when you do that, yes, one of the byproducts, you will lose weight. But it's the last thing to get you through that hurdle where you're like, okay, now I get it. Now I'm better. Okay, here's distance. Okay, I can't. Okay, I'm in control of that now. Watch me. I go, it will just spiral. And he's such a good dude. I go, you deserve all this. So here's your three reasons. Number why you need to lose weight. And it's not I need to lose weight. It's like I need to control that one area, which is if I need to eat this way, I will eat this way 7 days a week until I lose X amount of weight or am at a weight I wanted or I feel or look better or whatever it is. But I'm not going to, oh, I slipped. Oh, I cheated. Oh, I. And here are the three reasons why. Well, his father's health has gone bad because he's been obese. And he's just, it's getting worse because he's getting older. And he's slowing down, and he's not eating good. And I'm like, well, there's the impetus right there. You don't want that, because they're kind of talking about the problems of we don't know which thing it is. And I'm like, yeah, but the biggest problem is you're going to start losing weight today. Now, you might know, I mean, it was just all these others, that this disease or that disease, that's for sure a disease, but what type of disease and whether it's like, yeah, but you don't know that, and that might be frustrating, but that dude can start losing weight today. Eat better and start walking. You can be 70, 80, 90, and you can walk, and you can choose what to eat. I mean, if you lose 10 pounds in the next week or two, I guarantee you that's great news to the doctor whoever trying to diagnose you. So number one, there's your impetus. You do not want to have your overweight thing start causing you problems where you're trying to throw Band-Aids on all these little things when the biggest thing is you're overweight. And when you're overweight a lot, it's just hard on your body, on your organs, on everything you do, your knees, everything. I said, number two, you know you're better. And I'm telling you right now that you have no idea how good it will be when you get there, when you do this. I kind of said, you know, here is your weight when we started. You've dabbled here. You've got up to here. I said, if you can get down to this number, which you've not quite gotten to, I said, you will be amazed by your life. That's number two. You don't know any. Believe me, because he gets it. He just gets it. And then I said, number three, do you care about your family? Yes. Are you a loving person that loves and cares about your family and spouse, the people close to you? Yes. Would you like to impact them? Would you like to have an effect on them to the greatest possible extent? Yes. Lose the weight. Be the best you. That's the biggest thing. Your wife will feel it. Your parents will see it. Your siblings will see it and feel it. You'll go back next year and they will be asking you questions how you did what you did. Because it's that, oh, I'm going to worry about this, and I'm going to worry about that person, and I'm going to worry about that situation, and I'm going to worry about that family member. It's like, what's that going to do? What is worrying going to do for anybody? You come back going, oh, I got bad news about so-and-so, so I came back and I haven't eaten good or worked out because I'm worried. It's like, it's kind of what we're supposed to do in a sense, but when you distance yourself, step back, it's like, what's that doing? Do you care about that family member? I mean, you care about, you know, it's like, impact your dad right now. You can't figure out what's his diagnosis. The doctors are struggling. You can't help him do anything. But you could just start losing weight right in front of him and inspire him to lose weight. So, oh, and this is a quote I wrote down. I was talking to a client. I says, I believe in my heart. It was almost like my parents were like, you have to worry or something's wrong. Like, that's kind of the mindset. Like, be prepared for bad because it could happen. And I understand it, but that is debilitating. You know, it's like when, and that's kind of like I said, this distance, all this stuff gives me clarity. It's like, hey, your mother might be going through a situation. That was a phone call. Okay, I'm not calling. Why? Well, we haven't called in 20 years. I'm not starting to call now. And they had plenty of time. And I, you know, 48 to 52 was, 51 was their little window. I came back, apologized, started over. I'm like, here it is. Let's start anew. And they showed me who they were. You know, if you're not worried, you know, you got to be that way or something's wrong. It's just, you know, you get to the point where you're like, no, I'm like, what was I supposed to do in that moment? It's like, well, I get calling back would have made certain people feel good, but they're not my responsibility. What I could do was hold my mother in prayer and thought, which I did. And so it's like, okay, I have total peace of mind. But I know there's people that are completely tripped out about it because they have all these other thoughts or stories going on. I'm like, yeah, I just don't care about that anymore. So the two things I have left, I got this little, not really a cult thing, but I got it from the internet and it said, if you do these things for 30 days, you'll be unrecognizable. And I went, okay, let me read it. And I'm like, I really think. So get your iPad, notepad, phone, take note ability thingy, pen, paper. 30 days, do these things. Number one, sleep 8 hours. Two, drink 2 liters minimum of water every day. Get sun daily. So this is each day. Sleep 8 hours. Drink 2 liters minimum water. Get sun daily. No sugar, which would be huge. Read for 30 minutes a day, which is a great test for me. Work out 3 times a week. Eat fruits and vegetables daily, especially your greens. Meditate for at least 10 minutes daily. So I'm just going to read that list and this again, you're trying to take this down. Number one, sleep 8 hours. Two, drink 2 liters minimum of water every day. Three, get sun daily. Four, no sugar. Five, read for 30 minutes a day. Six, work out 3 times a week. Seven, eat fruits and vegetables daily. Nine, meditate for at least 10 minutes daily. So if anybody does those for 30 days, I would love to hear from you. I think that would be fantastic does someone go, you know what, I did those things, and I did them for 30 days. And if you do that, I would love to hear your story. I would love, love, love to hear your story. So the last thing is just kind of a good news story. I think I mentioned this, and I shouted out thank you to Nico for helping me back up the computer. It's been a minute. So I'm like, did I tell Nico that? Did I say it on a podcast? But I think I mentioned it. My computer wasn't backing up, and it was just like, okay, now that's bad. And if it doesn't, what does that mean? And am I going to have to get a new computer? Is that going to be my... It was just like that little buzzing in the background of, you know, just that little hum that something's not right. Something's going on. You're going to worry about something. Well, that got fixed. Nico helped me out, and I loved it. And when it got done, that's when I was like, wow, you were really affected by that, because how felt good I felt. Like the weight that was lifted when I woke up the next morning, is like, because we renamed the backup Tom's Backup, because we had to rename it. And it's like Tom's first, or first backup to Tom's Backup. And I went, oh, that's done. It was just this fear, this worry, this fear, this thing, this was just gone. I was like, God, it felt so good. Well, shortly after that, I started kind of having this problem with my phone saying it wouldn't back up to iCloud. Photos aren't backing up to iCloud. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, I'm just tired of stuff. And I kind of didn't even care. I'm like, look, my computer's working, so I don't even care. And then one day I got up and I could tell. I was sitting at my desk, you know, at my desktop with my phone, and my phone wasn't connected to my Wi-Fi. So I had to end up calling. And that, you know, just takes forever to get through, get on the thing. And it was saying that I didn't have the internet name, and I did. And then it said I had a wrong password. And I'm like, so I'm calling her, and I'm like, okay, this is like, it's working. And then now it says, I can't get on. I can't connect, and my password's wrong. So it just takes a long time, but it gets done, and she fixes it, and it works. And then my phone backs up, and I'm like, okay, I was worried about my phone going, okay, something's funky, something's wrong, and sooner or later I'm going to have to get a new one, spend money, you know, like the end of all end, money. And then the computer, that's wrong, that's something, so end of, I'm going to spend money. It's like, computer works, and it's, I got a bunch of space, so I got a bunch of storage, so everything is fine and it works. And I'm like, how yucky I felt, like thinking about what it could be, what might be wrong, what could possibly go wrong, how much it could cost. Like, nah, it's fine. Not a problem. It's, again, that time and energy that you waste. Well, the phone got to me a little bit. Now that works, and that's wonderful. Okay, the last thing I got to do for the year, I had little notes, you know, get this done, you know, the computer, the phone, things that weren't working properly, or, you know, diagnose. And I knew I had like 1-2 bad tires, you know, starting to get bald. And I got a guy I know, friend of a friend, gets me good deals. So a couple months ago, I pulled in there and he goes, come in the end of November. So it was always that little note like, you know, things are slowing down. I got to pay rent. But then at the end of November, I got to go in and get 1 or 2 tires. And I got these low profile tires. So they're a little bit more expensive. They don't quite last as long. And it was just like, again, just that I got that bill coming, got that bill coming. So called them, made an appointment, and I just text him, and it was like, part of me didn't want to, like, oh, I don't really want to know, but I know it's a better deal. It's just, you know, spending money. And so I said, hey, coming over, you know, how much do I need to bring? And he's like, 2 tires, $195. And I'm like, wow, so great. You know, cause it could be $300. I don't know. I just can't remember. And, you know, just assuming the bad or whatever. I'm like, under $200, that's great. 2 tires, that's fantastic. So I'm feeling good. You know, things are working. Things are getting done. And I got this day. I got to get up. I got to run this errand. Then I got to get over to the tire place and, you know, withdraw some money and just all these kind of things. And I was just checking them off. So I get to the tire place. And guy comes out and he goes, yeah, you just need one. You only have one by a tire. And I'm like, fantastic. There's the bill cut in half. So I get that done. I'm driving around and I'm like, wow. I go, my saying was, you know, when you get a flat tire, how long does it take you mentally, manually to shift your perspective to the 3 good ones? You know, the things you have, the blessings, when something that you can't stop from happening happens. And I'm like, I was kind of like, oh, you know, the car might be having problems. I might, you know, the tires or something's wrong. 2 tires, like one, just 1 tire. It's all you need. Like, I was just getting these gifts. And again, just sharing my story. I'm making some really wonderful pro-you choices. I'm distancing myself from certain things, places, experiences, events, places, people, all based on is it or is it not better for me? Does it or does it not serve me? Does it or does it not make me a better me? Does it or does it not make me feel better? Is it or is it not something that is in my control? And that becomes the muscle. That muscle over 2-3 years is becoming a super muscle, like a super power. So I'm starting to see things differently. And when I'm talking to people right away, I can just stop talking. That has nothing to do with you. Because I'm like, it doesn't. It just doesn't anymore. But I'm like, I got to remember. For 48 years, I was all in it, feeling it. And I remember a guy, last thing I'll say. I remember a guy, a wrestling coach. I was helping out at this high school in the city of Orange when I was living there for a while, just trying to do something. I'm like, I'll go to a high school and I'll just help with some, you know, wrestling. And this guy was a cool dude. And one time he told me, he goes, you got to stop talking about your feelings so much. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's like someone says, don't breathe. It's like, don't breathe. Like don't feel. I was like, totally like walked away. And I was like, I have no idea what you mean. So I wasn't put off because he was a good guy, but I had no clue what he meant. And I'm like, that's me now. I totally get what he's talking about. When you're like, yeah, I get feelings, this and that, but they're just temporary. They don't really matter. This person did that and I feel that's got nothing to do with you. And I was like, wow. So it's taken me a lot of time to learn, understand, and create that distance. To understand the benefits of that distance and the clarity and the perspective that comes with that distance and the price that you're willing to pay. Because to me, it's not a cost. Things seem to cost me my whole life something. And now I'm like, these aren't costs. I'm, you know, my purple's growing and it's reducing my yellow, and that's not a cost to me at all. I'm just worth it. And just like me, you are worth it. Hello, and welcome to your pro-you moment, where we get to focus on that which we can control. We can bring our entire world into this small moment, capitalizing on the present. So if we can sit on the floor and fold our legs, close our eyes, and let's begin to draw that inhale through the nose. Allow the exhale out the mouth. We're going to slow it down. We're going to elongate it. We're going to connect your mind to your body, focusing your mind on your breath to control it. While we have a neutral neck, shoulders over our hips, navel tucked into the spine. These will be the thoughts that occupy the space between your ears. If another thought enters, just kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. You will do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. Congrats on another pro you moment. You know, it's in these moments when I say those words, and it just reminds me of why they're important. Pro you, for you, by you. Pro you moment, this moment. Positive moment. It's pausing and reflecting, and it's stopping the conveyor belt of life and asking ourselves the real questions that need to be asked so we can begin the search for the answers. My whole path has been searching for answers. Answers to the questions, how I feel better, how do I become a better me? And not even knowing it at the time. But 4.5 years later, 326 episodes later, I know my path. Everything I share is something that I've learned recently that's helped me, or taught me a lesson, or gave me clarity. So I continue to walk the earth, have experiences, and then share those experiences, hoping that they resonate with others who choose to listen. So thank you for being here, and have the strength and the courage and the discipline to stop and pause and reflect and ask yourself why you're doing what you're doing, why you're with who you're with, why you are where you are, and what's in your control and your ability and your power to change and begin that pro you path of little things done consistently, because you're worth it. Peace and God bless.